The political crisis in Venezuela is at boiling point amid growing efforts by world leaders and the country's opposition to unseat embattled President Nicolas Maduro. Opposition leader and self-proclaimed president Juan Guaido has called for a new round of anti-government street protests, alleging that Nicolas Maduro's election last year was fraudulent. This comes as Australia joins the US, the UK and major European nations in backing Juan Guaido as Venezuela's interim leader. But Nicolas Maduro is holding firm, rejecting a European ultimatum to call elections within a week and warning against any outside military intervention.
We are going to prepare the entire weapon system, all our military forces, all our operational readiness, the whole civic military union and all of our militia capacity so that nobody dares even think about touching our sacred ground.
Venezuela's embattled president, I think it's we can use the word fairly there, President Nicolas Maduro. Diego Moya Ocampos is a former chief secretary in the office of Venezuela's attorney general. He joins us from London. Diego Moya Ocampos, welcome to RN Breakfast. Hello, Diego.
Thank you so much. It's a real pleasure to be in your program.
Diego, world leaders are lining up to back Juan Guaido. Thousands of people are fleeing the country and the economy is on the brink of default. But Nicolas Maduro is not for turning. How long can he hold on to power?
Well, it depends on the support of the military. I mean, the military has been supporting Nicolas Maduro in part because Maduro has granted them control and influence over oil services, over ports, over imports. The military controls key sectors of the economy, and some top military commanders, not all, but some, are also involved in drug trafficking, fuel smuggling, illegal mining. And these top commanders fear that if there were to be regime change, not only their political and economic influence will be threatened, but also they could be held accountable for corruption, illicit activities, and indeed gross human rights violations in containing the current wave of protests and wave of protests in previous years.
What's the way forward, do you think? Because the world is now sort of moved in on Venezuela to have its say, and it's split. We've got on Australia, America, the United Kingdom, major European nations backing the opposition leader now, recognising the government of Juan Guaido as the interim government of Venezuela. But on the other side, you've got Russia, China, Iran and Turkey supporting Nicolas and Maduro and accusing the West of supporting a coup. What do you think about world leaders taking sides in Venezuela's political future?
I think it has to do with how each country sees democracy. You could see that those countries which continue supporting Maduro in Venezuela are those who are being questioned because of having low democratic credentials and not too much respect for human rights. It is important to say that Guaido gets to his position because, according to the Venezuelan constitution, Article 233 of the constitution, when there's a vacuum of power, when there's no precedent, like it is the case in Venezuela, because the allegations of the US, EU, UK, Australia, and all these democratic nations of the world is that Maduro was re-elected through an electoral fraud in the elections last year. Therefore, there's a vacuum of power, there's no precedent. So according to the Constitution, when there's no precedent, when there's a vacuum of power, the head of the National Assembly, of the Congress, needs to assume an interim president and call for election. So that's basically what Guaido is doing. And the main objective is basically free and fair elections so Venezuelans can decide their future and deal with this humanitarian and migration crisis of unprecedented scale, which is affecting children, the elderly, shortage of food, basic good. Children are dying, the elderly are dying as a result of a collapse of the health system. Hyperinflation is the largest in the world, contraction, and the country's main source of revenue, oil, continues declining sharply.
Okay. Maduro, of course, says there is no vacuum of power. He says he's in charge because he was elected. And as you've referred to, some of the top military officials, some of the generals and the defence minister are swearing allegiance to him. So I suppose in terms of immediate control, it's definitely in the hands of Nicolas Maduro. But the opposition leader says he's in talks with the military too. And he's calling on the ordinary soldiers to step up and support the Venezuelan people. Do you have any insight into where the balance of power in the military is? Is that changing?
Well, the majority of the people from the armed forces struggle from the same problems that the rest of the Venezuelans. And they know what's going on. They know that Venezuela is in its current dire economic state because of widespread corruption and epic mismanagement in previous years, first with Chavez and now with Maduro. The main problem, again, is that the military, the top ranks, have more incentives to keep Maduro in power than to withdraw support. The key thing here to watch, I think, is the mid ranks and the rank and file, whether they will break the chain of command, whether they will support a democratic transition in the country. The problem is that for mid ranks to break the chain of command is very, very difficult. It's difficult for them to coordinate operations, they have poor communications, and staging any type of action without the support of the upper ranks is very problematic. The best outcome for Venezuela would be for Maduro to step down, for the military to favor what the people are demanding in protests in the streets, which is Maduro step down and please allow for democratic, free and fair elections with international observers. And that would be the best outcome. And if the military can just stop repressing the population and create the condition for the people to vote in free and fair elections, I think that's the best outcome for a constitutional, peaceful, and democratic, sustainable solution for Venezuela.
In your
that's
view,
where the military plays a role.
In your view, is that what prevents this being described as a coup? Obviously, Maduro says the US is promoting a coup against his government, but the fact that the call is not to reinstate a new government and leave it at that, but to put a timeline, a very quick timeline, on calling and holding elections. Do you think the people will accept that? That they're accepting it's not a coup?
That's absolutely the case. I mean, the people are demanding for Maduro to step down and for elections. And what Guaido has said, he's assuming, according to a constitutional provision, temporarily the president in an interim manner to call for free and fair elections in the country. And that's basically the only obstacle for free and fair elections in the country and for Guaido to assume government functions is, again, the military blocking this because of these reasons. But that's mainly the issue, yes.
Okay.
And another thing, I wanted to clarify one thing, which is I think this has been framed as a U.S.-Venezuela thing, but if you see for countries like, for example, like Brazil, which traditionally in Latin America has served as a counterbalance for the U.S., are also in support of Guaido and of free and fair elections, also Colombia, Peru, and all the other countries in the region and of the EU. So In reality, it's not a U.S.-Venezuela. The U.S. is just siding, okay, matching, or coinciding with the rest of the region in this call for elections in Venezuela.
Diego, just finally, Nicolas Maduro says he won't move aside and he won't call new elections. The U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton has warned Maduro that any threats against U.S. diplomats or against Juan Guaido will be met with what he says will be a, quote, significant response. How do you interpret that, a significant response? Do you think that's a threat of military intervention?
It's not clear yet what that is. What is clear is that the whole region, not only the U.S., but also the different countries on the region, as a result of this humanitarian crisis of migration flows, are trying to design a solution to deal with the issue of Venezuela in case Maduro refuses to step down.
Okay.
And we have to understand that this is not the conventional, traditional populist nationalist regime or dictatorship like the Middle East and Africa. This is a government which has been infiltrated by organized crime groups involving drug trafficking and which are preventing the population from expressing themselves in election. So I think that's mainly what could justify some type of intervention, a humanitarian intervention to deal with this situation, with the humanitarian crisis and these groups involved in illicit activity which kept taking control of government. Something unprecedented in the Latin American region, unfortunately.
Diego, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thank you so much. A real pleasure. Big fan of breakfast.
Diego Moya Ocampos is a former chief secretary in the Office of Venezuela's Attorney General, and he's a senior political risk analyst for Latin America for global information provider IHS Market in London. It's 6:27 on Breakfast.